This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
If you don't want to hear real facts on social and political issues, then stop listening now. Otherwise, stay right here for real issues, real facts, with real people.
Accelerate your culturalization of America.
But when the Dems use the argument that we're all immigrants, that, you know, I want to turn into the Tasmanian devil with two clubs in my hand to clear the room. They were immigrants that came here because they wanted to be here. They wanted to learn the American. They wanted the American dream. You cannot get the American dream speaking Spanish.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to live your life, son.
I'm going
to
deal with topics and issues that will make you think, make you mad, and maybe even get you a little embarrassed. So don't go anywhere. The lines are open. You can reach me at 855-REAL-JOE, 855-732-5563.
You are so stupid. It is you take lessons.
You're despicable.
We're back. You'll see the Real Side on GCN Live. Always a pleasure to have you with me. 855-REAL-JOE, 855-732-5563. Hey, head up to the website, realside.com. You can watch live, listen live. You can take the poll. There's a gazillion and three things you can do up there. And I really do appreciate the time that you're spending with us on the air and in the chat room and texting and tweeting. I want you involved and I want you engaged. You can be involved and engaged with the others in there. You can be involved and engaged with, well, heck, with yourself. I talk to myself all the time. But I want you involved. I want you to hear what other people have to say. And one of the things I've been going back to in my mantra here is I talk to other always Trumpers, never Trumpers, you know what I'm saying? I mean, always Democrats, never, whatever. Don't spew the party line. Don't say it to say it sake. Don't say it because it's, you know, what you want us, you think it's what somebody wants to hear, or it's what you've heard you believe to be truth. Say it because you believe in it. Seriously, say it because you believe it to be true. No other reason. Again, 855-REAL-JOE, 855-732-5563. Like the Huffington Post. You know, they hate Trump so much, they're going to twist and turn and look for a reason all the time. Right, as to why he's always wrong, no matter what he does, he's always wrong. Now, big headlines on the Huffington Post, which I don't know if it really means anything, but big headlines on the Huffington Post says that Trump excluded LGBTQ people from the world's AIDS Day proclamation. Seriously? Have you heard the proclamation? Have you read the proclamation? Let me help you. I don't want to bore you to death, but let me help you. Because, you know, proclamations, no matter what they're for, they say exactly what you think they're going to say. So he wants to commemorate, or he wants to commemorate those who were affected by HIV AIDS this week, seemed to overlook many affected by the epidemic. He says in the proclamation, on this day, we pray for all those, so there's that word they hate, we pray for all those living with HIV and those who have lost loved ones to AIDS. Trump wrote the proclamation, he issued it Thursday. Now, as we remember those who have died and those who are suffering, we commend the immense effort people have made to control and end the HIV/AIDS epidemic. So far, so good, right? I mean, he's praying for those living with it. He's praying for those who've lost loved ones. And we're remembering those who died. So far, so good, right? World AIDS Day, first commemorated in 1988, aims to raise international awareness on the disease. An estimated 36 million people are living with HIV/AIDS around the world, with 1.1 million of those residing right here in the United States. But the Huffington Post stops there and says, wow, notice, no reference to the LGBTQ people. Only to people around the world, only to all those living with it. Now, I want to tell you something. Growing up in the 70s and 80s and what have you, when, you know, AIDS was starting to take off and everybody was, you know, talking about it. And here's the thing. Whenever anybody brought up the fact that it was only prevalent in the gay community went nuts. The LGBTQ community went nuts and said, that's not true. It's not only the gay community or the lesbian community that contracts this. You can get it a number of ways. And unlike, you know, I mean, contrary to popular morons, you could not get it from sitting on a toilet seat, that somebody who had AIDS, who sat on a toilet seat before you, could give it to you. It didn't happen that way. And that was a rumor going around that I had to roll around with. I couldn't believe that people actually believed that stuff. But let's go a little further with it, okay? So we were told, it was beat into our heads, that you could contract it in many ways, and it wasn't just by having, gay or lesbian sex. And I'm not going to go through all those ways, because some of them are pretty disgusting, but anyhow, So anybody, any human being on the planet with a heartbeat can contract HIV. All of a sudden, it's a problem because President Trump didn't mention the LGBTQ community by name. I'm so tired of all this. Not just that, you know, the other night, in talking about President Obama, you're a racist if you didn't agree with him. You're a racist if you asked him for his birth certificate or tried to figure out why he wouldn't show his birth certificate. That made you a racist because it only had to do with he was a black guy. Had nothing to do with what he was like. And maybe you're only half racist because he's only half black, remember? I don't know how that works, but whatever. So they go on to just to beat up on the president, President Trump, for not specifically mentioning the LGBTQ community. But he talks about people all over the world. Humans that are still living with it. Calls them out by number. People who have died by it. And the people, the humans, the people, without the label. Remember, you guys are the ones that don't want labels. Now you want labels. Make up your mind. You wonder why we think you're sick. You wonder why those on the right think that you're sick. Because you want labels, but you don't want labels. I am so confused. And he talks about remembering all of those who died. He wasn't talking about, chimps and lions and elephants. He was talking about human beings, people who contracted the disease, who have it today, who had it, and who died from it. So how does that leave? Oh, and they were very upset that he left out people of color. Maybe they should write that paragraph. I'd love this. I would love to have the Huffington Post write that paragraph and send it to me, what it would look like. Not only do we have to call out the LGBTQ community, but we have to call out people of color who died from AIDS. Right? Or have AIDS or who have died from AIDS. I mean, seriously, if we use the 79 identifiers that Facebook has along with all the colors, my God, the proclamation would be 12 pages long. Because it's not inclusive enough to say all humans. It's not inclusive enough to say all people. Now, the omissions are startling. When the statistics in 2015 show that 48% of those diagnosed with AIDS in the U.S. were African Americans. In 2014, the census, what were the others? You see what I'm saying? I mean, when you say everybody, all those suffering from it, wouldn't that be inclusive of the African Americans, the 48%, and then the ones that weren't African American? The Centers for Disease Control found that gay and bisexual men made an estimated 70% of the new HIV infections in the U.S., though data on the transgender community is limited. CDC also found that an estimated 22% of all trans women are HIV positive. So, you know, you go through this, and you just have to say to yourself, the guy couldn't do anything right. It wouldn't matter what he said. He would have said it the wrong way, in the wrong order, about the wrong people. Anyway, I'm Joe Messina, your host. Always a pleasure to have you with me. Bill Federer joins me after the break. Don't go far. You're going to learn a lot about how great this country actually is. We'll be right back.
J&M Enterprises is a full-service screen printing company. They print on shirts, pants, hats, cups, frisbees, sports bags, sweatshirts, tote bags, and most any other promotional items. J&M has been family-owned and operated for over 25 years. J&M takes pride in providing high-quality products and services because we care. Our state-of-the-art equipment enables us to print high volume with superior quality on any job. We print on clothing lines for schools, businesses, sports teams, and bands nationwide. Our team is committed to total customer satisfaction and the quality you should expect from a professional screen printing company. J&M, family owned and operated. Give us a call. We guarantee a great product and a great price. 800-462-0002. For a price quote, 800-468-0002. Or go to the web at www.jnm.cc.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. to order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder. Long-distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body. Why take another pill? Treat your aches and pains with Sunshine Pillows. Microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra-large body heating wraps. Sunshine Pillows and wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it, even while driving. Sunshine Pillows are designed with your comfort in mind, will not burn you, and will stay balanced on your body to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part, Sunshine Pillows start at just $20. Join hundreds of our happy customers and see why Sunshine Pillows has a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. Click sunshine-pillows.com and take the Sunshine Pillow Challenge. That's sunshine-pillows.com.
Want revenge on the common housefly? Well, after 10,000 years, someone has finally come up with a better way. The Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun, which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic and no batteries required. So much fun. You'll forget you have a wife and kids. $39.95 and free economy shipping. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Makes the perfect stocking stuffer. Get your Bug Assault today.
ID Stronghold wallets are different. They may look the same on the outside. They're stylish. They'll hold your cards and cash. But they're hiding something great on the inside. No, there are no pyrotechnics. And it doesn't sing when you open it. But it does have magical powers. ID Stronghold wallets protect your critical information and identity from thieves standing right next to you. Protect your family this holiday season with affordable leather ID Stronghold wallets and purses. Anyone can buy a cheap RFID scanner online and snag your information just by walking past you. Contactless credit cards, debit cards, even your work ID badge. ID Stronghold was the first to pioneer RFID blocking technology over 12 years ago. Secure your identity and save 10% by using coupon code PRESENT for a limited time at idstronghold.com. That's coupon code PRESENT, also available at walmart.com, eBay, Amazon, or QVC. idstronghold.com.
This just in. Before your doctor gives you another antibiotic prescription that you don't want, get this free report, The Miracle of Garlic, your first home medicine. This free report is filled with easy kitchen remedies for common colds, flus, sore throats, ear infections, and more. Plus, learn to boost your immunity before you get sick. Go now to GCNwellness.com. Just like it sounds, GCNwellness.com to get your free report, The Miracle of Garlic. Click GCNwellness.com.
Last night never happened, and I'm going to marry him, and you and I are going to take this to our coffin.
I can't do that.
Why not?
I'm in love with you.
Snap out of it!
We are back. You're listening to The Real Side on GCN Live. I appreciate the time that you're spending with me on the air, in a chat room, texting, tweeting, and being part of the conversation. 855-REAL-JOE, 855-732-5563. Listen, I want to get to my guest because I have such a good time when he's on with me. William Federer, or Bill Federer as I know him, is a nationally known speaker, best-selling author, and president of Amerisearch, Inc. It's a publishing company dedicated to researching America's noble history. Now, Bill's American Minute Radio features broadcast daily across America and on the Internet. Bill, thanks for being with me. I always appreciate your time with me.
Great to be with you, Joe.
You know, I talk about, I know during the break I was telling you what we're going to talk about, but when I hit this little piece on you, we talk about America's noble history. It seems that some people only want to talk about America's dark history. They want to talk about, you know, slavery and what it did, you know, to groups of people that came here from Europe. But we are one of the few countries that go out of our way to work harder to right those wrongs. We don't live in that. We don't. Am I wrong, or are we just stuck there?
Well, when you contrast, there's never been an abolitionist movement in Muslim countries. right? So in America, the abolitionist movement was the Republicans. The Democrats had slavery in the states. The Democrats started the KKK and so forth. And so it was a Republican-led movement to abolitionists and free the slaves. There's never been an abolitionist movement in Muslim countries. There's never been an Islamic Abraham Lincoln. Because the dilemma is that Muhammad owned slaves. And so for them to condemn slavery, they would have to condemn Muhammad. And so Islam enslaved an estimated 180 million people in Africa, plus over a million Europeans. And so there were whole Catholic orders in Europe through the Middle Ages called the Trinitarians. The head of the order was called the Ransomer, and they would collect alms and donations and go under a white flag to North Africa to get your friend back. Whole coast of Italy didn't have a woman of childbearing age for generations because the Muslim pirates would come up, sort of like Boko Haram, or capture the women and take them, sell them into harems. And so they had slavery for 8 centuries before America was ever discovered.
Wow.
And so that is some of the background. But slavery, when you go back, the most common form of government in world history is what? It's kings.
Correct.
Pharaoh, Caesar, Kaiser, Sultan, Tsars. The beginning of human writing was Sumerian cuneiform on clay tablets in the Mesopotamian Valley around 3 or 4,000 B.C. And so we're around 2080, so 4-2, that's around 6,000 years of recorded human history, which in a sense is not that long. 6,000 years is just 60 people living 100 years each back to back. We're talking 60 grandmas, and you're all the way back to the beginning of recorded human history. But the most common form of government is what? It's kings.
Right.
They go by different names: Pharaoh, Caesar, Kaiser, Sultan, Tsar, Emperor, Genghis Khan, Julius Caesar, Till the Hun. And it's very hierarchical. So if you're friends with the king, you're more equal. If you're not friends with the king, you're less equal. You're an enemy of the king, you're a slave, or you're dead. It's called treason. And so this has been the norm. And as these kingdoms go on, the kingdoms get bigger and bigger and bigger. Genghis Khan kills 30 million people from Korea to Hungary. You have the Muslim sultans and the Byzantine emperors and the King of Spain, France, and Austria. Aztec Mexico had slavery, and they would capture people in battle and, you know, take them to the top of the temples and tear their hearts out to the sun god and so forth. And so it was a norm, unfortunately, for world history. When America was breaking away, we were breaking away from the most powerful king in the world, the King of England.
Mm-hmm.
And he controlled 13 million square miles and 500 million people. And America decided we didn't want the king thing, and so we separated from it. And Jefferson's first draft of the Declaration got rid of slavery. It condemned the king for having stopped every effort of the colonies to end slavery. But a couple southern states wouldn't go along, and out of the immediate pressure of the situation, they said, well, let's just get free first, and then we'll worry about slavery. How today we wish they would have stood strong and gotten rid of it at the very beginning, would have saved us a civil war. But slavery was on its way out. Slavery was outlawed, the importation of slaves in 1807. But what happened was, with the Louisiana Purchase doubling the size of the country, and with the Mexican secession adding another 500,000 square miles, there was this rush to bring this new territory into the states as slave states. And so now, what was on its way out at the time of the founding is now getting a resurgence. And so you had a Christian-led Second Great Awakening revival, which sent missionaries to, you know, Caribbean and Burma and Hawaii. But the Second Great Awakening revival fueled the abolitionist movement, a Christian-led movement to end slavery. And,
you know, Bill, some people would say that, you know, Jefferson had slaves, Washington had slaves, and, you know, it was kind of disingenuous for them to be fighting to rid us of slavery when they owned them themselves. What would you answer them?
Well, you read the history. There was the abolitionist movement just getting going at that time. And so, again, during the colonial era, the King of England stopped every effort of the colonies to try to get rid of slavery. A bunch of states tried to get rid of slavery, but the king wouldn't let them. The Quakers kept bringing up getting rid of slavery. So often it was called the Quaker Memorial. It's like every time you get Quakers together, they're talking about ending slavery. And so once we broke from the king, now was this idea that, hey, let's do this. So you had two different groups. One said, let's transition out of slavery. You don't want to take these people who do not have an education. They cannot read. They don't have certain skills. And just put them out of the house any more than you would have your teenage son pushed out the door when he doesn't know how to support himself.
Right.
And so you had this one group that felt like it was a more responsible avenue to take your time. And here's Robert E. Lee's wife training the women to prepare them for freedom. And she was teaching them to read, teaching them how to sew and weave and mend. And so it was this movement that was starting in America, the abolitionist movement. They were called radical Republicans. They said, end slavery now. Let's just end it. And yes, it solved the slavery issue, but it also created other problems where you had lots of people that couldn't read, and so it ended up becoming more dependency on the government. But slavery was wrong. It's always been wrong, and it's been the Christian faith. It's been Jesus said, "I came to free the captive." You see, you know, Hammurabi's code about the time of Abraham, it had slavery part of the code, and it was very hierarchical, where Hammurabi was exempt from following his law because the law was the king's will, and so it was this stratified society. And so when we go back, it was actually Israel that came up with the idea that everyone is equal, and male, female, made in the image of the Creator, where every other country was, it's this God, King, people line that yep. The Creator gives the rights to the king dispenses it to the people, and so since the king is God's lieutenant, he gets to decide who benefits him as more equal and who doesn't benefit him as less equal. And Israel's this where it came up with, it said, every man and woman's made in the image of the Creator. Even the stranger living amongst you is the law.
We got to hit a quick break, and we come back. I want to talk about the current political forum. I'm Joe Buscini, your host. You're listening to The Real Side on GCN Live. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Don't go far. More with Bill Federer. Really, don't go far.
J&M Enterprises is a full-service screen printing company. They print on shirts, pants, hats, cups, frisbees, sports bags, sweatshirts, tote bags, and most any other promotional items. J&M has been family-owned and operated for over 25 years. J&M takes pride in providing high-quality products and services because we care. Our state-of-the-art equipment enables us to print high volume with superior quality on any job. We print on clothing lines for schools, businesses, sports teams, and bands nationwide. Our team is committed to total customer satisfaction and the quality you should expect from a professional screen printing company. J&M, family owned and operated. Give us a call. We guarantee a great product and a great price. 800-462-0002. For a price quote, 800-468-0002. Or go to the web at www.jnm.cc.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com. Virtual care anywhere.
If you or someone you care about loves outdoor adventure, then check out Slingbow.com for some unique holiday gift ideas. That's Slingbow.com, where we have some innovative new products for the archer, hunter, or bow fishing enthusiast in your family. Now through January, use the promo code HOLIDAY to get free shipping in the U.S. or Canada. And from all of us at Slingbow Industries, have a safe, joyous, and peaceful holiday season.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Gady Armor has been on a mission to manufacture the most comfortable body armor on the market, and we've succeeded. With the release of our CQB technology, we now offer the most comfortable, concealable rifle threat body armor available. Things may look good now, but what if you need added protection? Get your very own concealable rifle threat armor today at GadyArmor.com. And for a limited time, get all plates at wholesale pricing only at CATIArmor.com.
Message and data rates may apply.
Warning. Texting while driving is illegal just about everywhere. So if you want to take advantage of a life-changing LASIK offer, pull over when you can, because a special opportunity is just one text away. The LASIK Vision Institute is offering absolutely free evaluations and dramatically low prices on high-quality LASIK. Text the keyword CLEAR55 to 350350 to get the benefit of FDA-approved LASIK technology that gives the majority of patients 20/20 vision for a fraction of what others charge. Text to schedule your free appointment to see if LASIK is right for you. When you text CLEAR55 to 350350, you'll also get an extra 20% discount off our already low-cost services. We've already performed over 1 million procedures. Today, it's your turn. Discover how you can get the quality LASIK experience you've always wanted for a fraction of what others charge. This great offer is just a text away. Text CLEAR55 to 350350. That's CLEAR55 to 350350.
Most people think life insurance pays after you're dead. That's true. But did you know you can have tax-free access to your life insurance while you're still alive? You can use the life benefits of your life insurance to grow your money with certainty and guarantees. No stock market risk, no tax risk, and no penalties. Call Life Benefits if you'd like a free book about how this can be done. Call 702-660-7000. That's 702-660-7000.
You live here?
Yes.
Well, maybe you know what a zombie is.
When a person dies and is buried, it seems there are certain voodoo priests who have the power to bring him back to life.
Horrible.
It's worse than horrible because a zombie has no will of his own. You see them sometimes walking around blindly with dead eyes, following orders, not knowing what they do, not caring.
You mean like Democrats?
Seems everything I buy these days has got a foreign name. From the time the car I drive to my video game,
I got a nighttime camera, a Sony color TV.
Are back. I'm Joe Mazzini, your host. And let me tell you what, with 92 million Americans out of work, maybe more, you better be buying American made. All right, that's my personal opinion. Okay. I am Joe Mazzini, your host. You are listening to The Real Side. Appreciate the time that you're spending with me. I want to get right back to my next guest. Love it when he's on the show. William Federer is a nationally known speaker, best-selling author, and president of Amerisearch, Inc., a publishing company dedicated to researching America's noble heritage. Now, Bill's American Minute, and you should go grab it. You should go listen to it. We'll put the links up on our website. His radio features broadcast daily across America by the Internet. His faith in history, television, on TCT Network, on stations across America. You got to check this guy out. If you haven't heard him before, you haven't grabbed any of his books, head up to his website and check him out. Bill, again, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you.
Listen, let's jump into the current political tone. We've never seen anything like this. I can't. Is that entirely true? I mean, is this something unique that we're seeing happen today?
Well, when you look at the global quest for power, excuse me, again, 6,000 years, there's this eternal drive to rebuild the Tower of Babel. And with the kings and pharaohs and Caesars, it's the lust for power. And it's always there. Unfortunately, I think it goes back to the fall in the garden and Cain killing Abel. So you put some babies in a playpen, one of them takes the rattle from the others. Put some kids on a playground, one of them is the bully hogging the ball. Put some girls in a junior high clique, one of them is the diva, and if you're not her friend, you're ostracized, right? Put some people in an inner city, one of them is the gang leader. You put them in the woods, one of them is the Indian chief. It's just this norm, this lust for power. And, we've seen it before. You see Plato. 380 BC, there was this experiment in Athens called the democracy. Athens had a king named Draco around 600 BC, and he had the first written laws. Prior to then, kings would rule by their whims and their caprices, and you could get killed one day and praised the next. And so the people said, look, Draco, at least write this stuff down so so we can have some structure to our lives. And he did. He wrote the first written laws for Athens, but it was the death penalty for every other thing. So they're called draconian laws. Very, very harsh, right? Well, they get a new king, 592 BC, called Solon. And Solon invented democracy and left town, so they had to do it. So in a democracy, everybody every day had to go to the market and talk politics. And if you did not keep up with politics every day in Athens, you were called an idiotus, an idiot. And so if there's a king and you have an agenda, you got to get in to see the guy. So the Chinese emperors would have 2,000 concubines and the Mandarin eunuchs would keep them. And you have to bribe these Mandarins with money just to get in to see the emperor. Well, in Athens, they had no emperor, no pharaoh, no king. The people made the decisions. Well, if you have an agenda, how do you pitch it to the whole city? Well, you get them together in a big outdoor theater, and you put on plays, comedies, and tragedies. And so in the comedies, you'd ridicule, buffoon certain points of view, and the tragedies, you'd honor and extol as noble other points of view. And people would leave the theater saying, I don't want to be like that poor guy that was ridiculed to death. Like Saul Alinsky says, ridicule is the most powerful weapon. And so from that time till now, theater is always political in a country where the people make the decisions. So think of your favorite sitcom, movie, or show. There's a character you identify with. They're cute. They're funny. They're the hero. And as the series goes on, this character begins to make morally compromising decisions. Little lying, little cheat, little lust, little revenge. And you find yourself apologizing for him, saying, yeah, I know James Bond is with a woman he's not married to, but he's about to save the world. So can we get on with the story? And it minimizes something that before was a big deal in your life. And then they usually make people that hold to old traditional values look like simpletons and bumpkins and idiots and backwards. And by the time you turn off the show, you're like, I don't want to be like that guy that was made a fool of. And the other person, they were cool. And so theater is always political in a nation where it's the people that are making the decisions. So what happened in Athens? Well, they 380 BC, Plato, he was the disciple of Socrates and the teacher of Aristotle, who taught Alexander the Great. And so Plato said that the city government would go through five stages. He said it was first rule of the capable. These are people that know how to run farms and businesses. They know how to run city governments. They're just really responsible people. He called them lovers of principle and truth. They do a good job no matter what you say about them. The second group, once they get involved in politics, Plato called them lovers of fame, lovers of honor. These are people that have no experience actually running anything successfully. They just somehow got famous. Maybe they were a Greek actor that everybody liked or a Greek Olympic athlete. And because they love fame, they hate being defamed. So this group, you can manipulate by public opinion polls. Right, so the first group, they'll do what's right no matter what. Second group, they'll bend based on the winds of public opinion. And since they don't actually know how to run stuff successfully, the second group is tempted to take a little money out of the city treasury to pad their retirement, little money to some brother-in-law's construction company, little money to some supporter that can funnel it back into their campaign. And before you know it, it turns into a third category called an oligarchy, a rule of few, an insider clique. Plato called them lovers of money. These are people that raise taxes on everybody else, but they exempt themselves. They pass laws that everybody else has to obey, but they exempt themselves.
Well, that sounds like the Congress we have today.
Yeah, and if you're their friend, you get the port, you get the projects, you get the insider dealings, you get the waivers, and if you're not their friend, well, you get taxed and audited, it turns into a division in society of the rich connected and those that are not connected, and they're poor. And, Plato says, then comes the fourth category. There's domestic unrest, and the people throw the bums out, and they set up a democracy. He says, at first, a democracy is the most charming form of government.
I like that.
It's like a bazaar where you can pick any viewpoint. It's like an embroidery patchwork with lots of colors, and the chief characteristic of a democracy is lovers of tolerance. So you go from lovers of principle and truth to lovers of fame and honor to lovers of money to lovers of tolerance. It's great. Everybody tolerates each other. Then they tolerate people that are a little bit off. Then they tolerate people that are a lot off. And then they're tolerating crimes and crooks and immorality and all kinds of terrible things. And nobody cares. And then Plato says it creeps into the family. And the sons are disrespectful to the fathers. And if you correct them, they just shake their head and walk on. And then he says it creeps into their morality. And Plato says the manner of democrats, and that's his word because he's describing a democracy. He says the manner of democrats is every man does what is right in their own eyes. And the young man gives into libertinism and useless and unnecessary pleasures, even incest and unnatural union. Yes, that's what he's talking about. And this society begins to fall apart. And then they begin to raid the treasury. and they say, look, it's a democracy. All we got to do is vote, and we can spread this money around. Well, then the treasury's empty, and they say, where can we get more money? The rich people. They vote to take the money from the rich people. Now there's no rich left. Now there's a shortage, and they begin to say, well, don't cut back on what I'm used to getting. Don't take from my Social Security. Don't take my welfare. And it turns into
now,
this chaos.
Now, well,
and they
wait
begin
a
to
minute.
Bicker and fight, and then they begin to say, can't someone come along and fix this mess? And that's the fifth stage. Someone comes along promising to fix it all. People surrender their rights and freedoms, and the next thing you know, he turns out to be a tyrant.
Now, Bill, I think you've adapted that to to the current government. That's what I think you've done. It sounds like what we have now.
You know, it was 380 BC that Plato wrote this.
Wow.
And, but I wrote it. It's all in my book called Rise of the Tyrants, my brand new book. But anyway, so it's interesting. As they're seeing this domestic chaos and they're begging someone to come in and fix it, up comes this last stage, this person that Plato says at first he appears above ground as a protector. And he's very eloquent and gives these great speeches and people fall in love with him. And then they begin to see him get too powerful. And they cast it in his teeth that he's getting too powerful. And he has the choice, get rid of power, which he is not inclined to do, because Plato called him a lover of power, or get rid of the people confronting him. And so he purges his administration and his military of anybody that has virtue. All that he has left is yes men, because he just wants people to do what he tells them. And then it says, who does he get to replace his former friends? He frees the slave, the criminal, the convict, the illegal alien, and he arms them, and they become his mob that goes around and punishes anybody that disagrees with him politically. Finally, he stands in the chariot of state holding the reins of power, and he's revealed as the tyrant. So a democracy is a temporary form of government and only lasts as long as the people have morals and virtue and self-control. When they give up, their morals and virtue and self-control turns into this chaos, which out of which they beg some leader to take over, and he turns into a tyrant.
Bill, we got to go for a break again. You know what? If somebody had tuned in the middle of that, they would have thought you were talking about our current government. I couldn't see how they wouldn't think that. Anyway, we'll be back in just a minute. We're going to talk about how dangerous it is that our young people really don't understand our history. I'm Joe Messina, your host. You listen to The Real Side on GCN Live. Hey, hop up on the website, therealside.com. We can watch live, listen live, take the poll. Lots going on up there. Don't be gone too long. You'll miss a lot, I promise.
Does the current world crisis in North Korea or our domestic crisis right here in America concern you? Well, I know it concerns me. My friends over at Legacy Food Storage have solutions in the event there's the inevitable. What's the inevitable? Civil unrest, a run on your local grocery store. And here's my question to you. If this happens, how do you feed your children? How do you feed your grandchildren? Legacy Food Storage has the solutions. In fact, they can help you implement a simple plan to take care of your needs in the event of the inevitable. By calling them right now, I have authorized them to give you a special 20% discount at checkout by simply using GCN. Call 888-543-7345 or visit them at legacyfoodstorage.com. That's 888-543-7345 or visiting them at legacyfoodstorage.com. Make sure you use GCN at checkout for an incredible 20% discount. Don't be a victim. Take control of your life now.
Have you ever lost your power and wanted to simply flip a switch to get the lights back on? If so, pay close attention because huge discounts are now available in solar generators. Perfect for backup power outages and emergencies. Portable solar generators provide life-saving electrical power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, a solar generator runs quietly, emits no dangerous fumes, and produces an endless supply of electricity from the sun. It's like having an electric power plant running secretly in your own home. Right now, get a $5,000 solar generator for just $995 while supplies last. Go to mysolarbackup.com to learn more. That's mysolarbackup.com. GCN listeners, use coupon code GCN at checkout for this special offer. MySolarBackup.com. Use coupon code GCN. EMP protection available at an additional charge.
Attention type 2 diabetics. If you or a loved one has taken Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR or other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes and suffered amputation of the toes, feet, or legs, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA has warned that Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR and other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes cause an increased role in amputations of the toes, feet, and legs. If you or a loved one has taken Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR or other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes and suffered amputation of the toes, feet, or legs, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-475-7607. That's 800-475-7607. Again, 800-475-7607. Call now.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. www.injuryhelpdesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home? And you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect and may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. 800-667-9035. That's 800-667-9035.
People search the internet for everything, including you. With a few clicks, information from your past can be quickly discovered, from business deals gone wrong to misleading reviews, negative articles, and unflattering images. Studies show 78% of people search for someone online before doing business with them. Will they find the real you? With ReputationDefender.com, you can establish a positive internet presence. ReputationDefender.com pioneered the field with over a decade of experience, serving thousands of successful individuals and businesses. We use patented, award-winning systems to boost positive content and suppress negative material. Don't let the internet define you. Take control of your reputation today with ReputationDefender.com. For your quick, free reputation analysis, call 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
This is my aunt, and she's come to talk over some old family matters.
I wish I had an aunt look like that.
Well, take it up with your uncle.
We are back. You're listening to The Real Side on GCN Live. Always a pleasure to have you on board with me. I appreciate the time you spend with me on the air, in the chat room, texting, tweeting, and being part of the conversation. 855-REAL-JOE, 855-732-5563. I want to get right back to my guest. I always love when he's on. I never have enough time for him. William Federer joins me. He's a nationally known speaker, best-selling author, and president of Amerisearch, Inc., a publishing company dedicated to researching America's noble heritage. He's also got, listen, head up to his website. I'm going to put it up on the website, and we'll put it up on Twitter here in a minute. And, you know, you got to check out what he's got going on. He's also written a book called Rise of the Tyrants. And tell us, forgive me for saying it this way, but give us the Reader's Digest of what the Rise of the Tyrants is about.
Well, again, it's an overview of world history, and the most common form of government is a king, Pharaoh, Caesar, Kaiser, Sultan, Tsar, and as America decided to break from King of England, they wanted to run as far away from a king as possible.
Right.
So they took the power of a king, broke it into three branches, separated it federal to state level, tied it up with 10 handcuffs we call the first 10 amendments. All the Constitution is, in a sense, is a bunch of hurdles to prevent the rubber band from snapping back into the hands of the king. Unfortunately, after every crisis, we see a gradual reconcentration of power. So it was great that Lincoln ended slavery, but in the process, a lot of rights went from the states to the federal government. It was great that Franklin Roosevelt wanted to get us through the Depression, but he concentrates power with his New Deal programs.
Wow.
It was great that Lyndon Johnson wanted to end poverty with his great society welfare state, but he concentrates power into the federal government. It was great that George Bush wanted to make sure there was no more terrorist attacks, but he concentrates power with the NSA and the government reading all your emails.
Oh, yeah.
And now the new president, no matter what the crisis is, the answer is the same. Let him have more power, and he will take care of it. The problem is, when you do, you are fundamentally transforming your form of government from the people ruling themselves back to a king.
Yep.
Now you add to the mix philosophers that have noticed that in times of crises, people will relinquish their power to a leader. I mean, even in Rome, when they had, during their republic era, a crisis, they would appoint someone as a temporary dictator, a term that lasted for 1 year, and the famous one was Cincinnatus. They get him off his farm, he leads them to victory, and then after the year's over, he goes back to his farm. But they understood that in times of crisis, you have to let somebody be in charge. And so, 500 years ago, Italy was a bunch of city-states, Venice, Genoa, Naples, Florence, Siena, and they all had armies and navies and fought. And a guy named Machiavelli thought if one prince could control all of Italy, it would stop the infighting. So he writes a book called The Prince, where he advocates the ends justifies the means, the end of one prince controlling all of Italy. It's such a good end, because it'll stop this infighting, that any means necessary to get there is justified. Lie, cheat, steal. So if a prince conquers the city, they would hate him. But if he paid criminals to kill cows, burn barns, create crisis and terror, the people would cry out for help. The prince would come in, kill the very criminals he bribed. Nobody would know the better for it, and they'd praise the prince as a hero. So it's good marketing. You create the need and fill it. You go around the back of the house and set it on fire, and then you go around the front of the house and sell them a fire extinguisher, and they'll pay anything for it, and thank you for being there. So it's called Machiavellianism, where you create or capitalize on a crisis to consolidate control. That influenced somebody named Hegel. If I have a minute, I'll share on him.
Yeah, you can, but I want to get to the young people. But go ahead, share on him.
Well, real quick, Napoleon conquers Germany, Prussia very easily, and afterwards the king says we need to strengthen the state. And so Hegel says the state is God walking on earth, and he came up with something called Hegelian dialectics to concentrate power. How does it work? It's a triangle. One corner is a thesis, the opposite is an antithesis or antithesis, and the top corner is a synthesis. It sounds complicated, but it's not. In other words, you start off, then you create a problem that's real bad, and everybody is happy to settle for your answer that's half as bad. That becomes the new thesis. You create another problem that's real bad, and everybody's happy to settle for your answer that's half as bad. You do this over and over again until the people move from ruling themselves back to a king. And so Karl Marx said, well, how do you create a crisis that's real bad? Well, you send in agitators, agent provocateurs, provoking agents, community organizers, labor organizers, and their job is to find the fault lines, the tension lines just under the surface. Find the people who have grievances, who feel like they've been wronged, and you organize them, and you rub the resentments raw until violence breaks out and there's bloodshed. Then everybody is willing to let go of their freedoms to have order restored. And so they would organize the proletariat against the bourgeois, which is the working class against the business owners. They would organize the blacks against the whites, the Muslims against the Christians, the Catholics against the Protestants, the Hutus against the Tutsis in the Congo and Rwanda. They really don't care who the two sides are. Their goal is a destabilizing crisis that is so bad, everybody's willing to surrender their freedoms. Now, it works best if the people are not Christian. Even Napoleon said, religion is what keeps the poor from murdering the rich. So if you have poor Christians, they'll just suffer. But if you get rid of Christianity, then you just got raw human passion. And you say, you want what they have. You've been wronged. You have grievances. Follow me. We'll help you right it. And then you organize them and they overthrow the government. And then a dictator takes over. 45 countries fell to communist dictators this way.
Wow.
People say, well, communism, isn't that where everybody owns everything equally? Well, let's think just a little deeper. Who decides who lives in the nice house and who lives in the dumpy house? Somebody in the government dictates those things. Well, whoever ultimately dictates those things is the dictator. So every communist country has a dictator. Stalin, Pol Pot, Ho Chi Minh, Castro, Kim Jong-un. The Communist Party members are the new royalty. They get to live in the nice houses, the nice neighborhoods, the nice shops to shop in, and the people are the peasants. And so we're back to this spectrum of power. One side's total government, the other side's no government. No government's anarchy unless people have internal morals and virtues. Israel was the one who came up with the motivating force, because why would you follow an internal moral or virtue? Why would you deny a selfish tendency? Israel introduced this important ingredient, a God who was watching everyone. He wants you to be fair, and he will hold you accountable in the future. So you're about to steal. You know you can get away with it. And then you think, God is watching. He wants me to be fair. He's going to hold me accountable. Maybe I should hesitate stealing. And it creates something in your head called a conscience. If everybody in the country believes God is watching, he wants me to be fair, he's going to hold me accountable, everybody's motivated to follow these internal morals, and you can have complete order in society without policemen following everybody around. Maximum liberty and freedom. Now, it only works with a God of the Bible. An Islamic Allah God says, well, there's an infidel woman there, you can rape her, it's okay, you can lie to this infidel, that one. The God of the Bible says, do unto others what you would have them do unto you. That every person, male, female, is made in the image of the Creator. Even the stranger living amongst you is under the same law that you're under. You compare that to the Islamic dhimmi status law, where a stranger has no rights. And so as long as you got this God, the system works. You get rid of this God, then you just have internal morals. Why keep them? Some will out of habit. Others are going to say, forget this. And they're going to rob and steal, smash windows, have riots in the streets, set buildings on fire. And then the people are going to beg, please, government, come in. And they'll come in with their militarized police and go house to house and collect everybody's guns. And, yeah, they'll restore order. But when the dust settles, you'll have fundamentally transformed your country back to a king.
Yeah, I'm amazed at people. Again, this goes back to what we were going to talk about, and still will to a degree, is how if our young people don't understand how history works, if our young people don't really know how we got to be the country we were, I'm putting it that way, we were, we could easily end up back in a dictatorship. We could easily end up back in a kingship type of thing, couldn't we?
Right. Well, there's a communist tactic called deconstruction. And it's you separate the people from their past, get them into a neutral where they don't know where they came from, and then you can brainwash them into the future that you have planned for them. It's a sales technique. If I was a toothpaste salesman, the first thing I would do is to say negative things about the toothpaste you are currently using. You're using that old stuff, it'll eat the enamel off your teeth. Ooh, you're repulsed by it. Now I have you into a neutral. You're open-minded. What are all the toothpastes out there nowadays? And then I can give you my pitch for this tartar control breath freshener. And so they go to the kids in the schools, and they say, well, America's founders owned slaves, took land from Indians. They were chauvinists. Ooh, the kids are repulsed by them. Now you got them into this neutral where they're sort of open-minded. What are all the belief systems out there nowadays? And then you can give them your pitch for the LGBT and socialism and Islam and so forth. And so Europe went through this. Europe went from a Judeo-Christian past, right? It used to be Catholic, then a Protestant Reformation and had neighborhoods. Europe went from a Judeo-Christian past into a secular neutral with the French Revolution. Robespierre putting a prostitute in Notre Dame Cathedral, covering her with a sheet, said, this is the goddess of reason, let's worship her. They turned churches into temples of reason, chopped off 40,000 heads in Paris. And Napoleon spread this French secularism all around Europe, and Europe became secular. And they say, hey, bring in whatever you want, the gay agenda, and now Europe's becoming Islamic. And there's the Europeans are having one kid per family. Muslims are having multiple wives with lots of kids per family. The number one name for newborns in London, Milan, and Brussels is Mohammed. There's 5 million Muslims in Paris, and they're taking over neighborhoods, and they're putting up signs saying ZUS, Zonas Urbanas Sensibles, sensitive urban zones. And 10 years ago, there were 3 mosques in Germany. Today, there's over 200. And number one crime in Norway, Sweden, and Denmark is Muslim immigrant men raping European women. Most of southern Holland is Moroccan Muslim. And the Europeans are scratching their heads thinking, how did we get here? Well, you went from a Judeo-Christian past into a secular, free sex, LGBT, anything goes neutral. Now you're going into an Islamic future. It's this drive, neutral, reverse scenario. And so it's being applied to America. And so the gay agenda, when you back away and examine it from a distance, it is simply a creative way to cut ties with the Christian past.
Look, I wish we'd have kept him on longer. That was Bill Federer. Bill is a nationally known speaker, best-selling author, and president of Amerisearch, Inc., which is a publishing company dedicated to researching. Now, check this out. God forbid. Researching America's noble past. You can find them at AmericanMinute.com. Come on, figure it out. On AmericanMinute.com. And get up there, check it out. Why don't you learn something instead of spewing some of the crazy stuff that you were taught earlier? I'm Joe Messina, your host. Don't go far. A lot more coming up in the next hour.
Meeting is adjourned. Oh, I am sorry, sir. I didn't mean to overstep my bounds. You say that.
What?
Meeting is adjourned.
It is?
No, you say that, Governor.
What?
Meeting is adjourned.
It is?